Keys. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. As you know, it's hurricane season, so we decided that today's show is all about flood insurance and is it required by law to purchase flood insurance? What is the National Flood Program all about and why is it a government program? What does flood insurance actually cover and why are there policy limits? That and much more right here, right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, Mike. Our guest today is Robert Mitchell. Robert has worked at Mitchell Insurance Services, which is a family-owned and operated insurance agency, since 2008. Both his father and grandfather were insurance agents, so he's continuing the family tradition. I like that. And Robert has furthered his education by becoming a certified insurance counselor, a certified risk manager, as well as completing his Master's of Risk Management and Insurance from Florida State. Well, that's pretty impressive, and we're happy to have you on the show. Welcome, Robert.
Welcome, Robert.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to talking about some flood insurance with you. I make the joke all the time that I'm an insurance agent because my baseball career didn't work out, but when your dad and your grandfather were both in the insurance business, it was kind of written in the stars, I guess.
Were you any good in the baseball field?
I was good until about 12 years old.
Okay.
And then that's when the wheels fell off.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get started by asking, what is the National Flood Insurance Program? Just tell us what it's all about.
So the National Flood Insurance Program is actually an act of Congress. In 1968, it was the National Flood Insurance Act that basically put together this government program that was set out to administer flood insurance because the private insurance market, it's your Allstate, your Travelers, those are the traditional names that you think of. At the time, they deemed flood to be an uninsurable risk. And what I mean by an uninsurable risk is that the amount of money they thought they would have to charge in order to make money or at least break even, no one would buy it at that cost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So with pressure from real estate organizations and developers, especially those folks that wanted to develop the coastal areas of the United States, they lobbied the government and said, listen, in order for us to develop these areas, we need a program that's going to provide affordable coverage to the residents of those areas. And so that's how the flood insurance program came to be.
So is that why the government is in the flood insurance business in essence?
Yeah, that's exactly why the government's in the insurance business. And, the interesting thing about the flood insurance program It was never designed to be a profitable part of the government budget. It was designed simply to maintain itself. So the rates that they were charging, the premiums that customers were paying, it was all designed to be a self-sustainable program.
Right, right, right.
Okay, so is the flood insurance program making a profit?
I mean, does the government make a profit on the flood insurance?
So there's a lot of things that go into the flood insurance program in terms of cost and payouts. But for about 47 years, the government's flood program was reaching its goal of self-sustainability. But it was when Hurricane Katrina hit in New Orleans in 2006.
That's when everybody lost, right?
That's when everyone lost. And that's when the budget went from being in the black to being deeply into the red.
You know, I heard that hurricane took premiums for 100 years for the cost of that hurricane. I mean, is there any substance to that? Or
That number sounds about right. You know, just as a comparison, this isn't as directly related to flood insurance, but this is just something that kind of shows the overall catastrophic nature of a substantial hurricane and what that can do to an area and what that can do to an insurance company. My dad was an Allstate insurance agent for a long time, and when Hurricane Andrew hit down in 1992, in 2.5 hours, Allstate lost 30 years of premium and profit in a matter of 2.5 hours.
Right, right. Wow. Right, and those are some of the two big events that caused the flood program to be really losing money, correct?
Yeah.
So, well, Katrina and who else then?
So Andrew didn't have as much of an effect. They were able to sustain that a little bit more. But here's where we kind of get into where the budget got flipped upside down and we went into a deficit was with, obviously, Katrina in 2006. So Katrina is the largest natural catastrophe in the United States history. I believe the overall damage incurred was upwards of $60 billion, and that goes beyond just simply flooding.
Right.
But how it directly affected the flood insurance program was, as a result of that storm, the flood program went into a $17 billion worth of debt.
Okay.
Now,
so let me ask you this, though. Is it self-sustainable right now with the government? I mean, Katrina's been, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years now at this point, or even longer?
So as it stands now, it still is that big red line item budget that the government doesn't really know how to fix. They don't really know how to address it. So after, you know, it wasn't long after Katrina that Superstorm Sandy hit up in the New York area, and that caused another $6 billion in damage. So when you take 47 years of the program being self-sustainable, it took two events to then put it into about $24 billion worth of debt. They haven't really recouped a lot of that debt, and they still sit today just under $25 billion in debt.
Wow. So how does Florida fit into the National Flood Program then?
So I like to say that Florida is kind of the whipping child of the National Flood Insurance Program, because anytime there's any type of reform efforts or efforts by the government to increase the flood insurance rate, they look at Florida as the prime example of what could potentially go wrong with the program. As an example, the National Flood Insurance Program has just over 5 million policies in effect. Florida on its own has about 1.7 million policies.
Okay.
So how that compares to the rest of the country, Texas is the second largest provider in terms of flood insurance premiums, and their policy counts just over 600,000. So when
wow.
you look at the sheer numbers, Florida is the primary income of the National Flood Insurance Program.
Florida potentially will flood out more so than any of the other states that you had mentioned, and that's probably why most of the premiums, you know, most people buy, you know, flood insurance plus the elevation in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, but go ahead.
Just to kind of to touch on your point, one of the biggest complaints that I get from customers all the time is that they tell me that year in and year out, my insurance premiums, especially my flood insurance premium, is going up and up and up. And I've lived in this home for 20 years and I've never had a flood. Well, the thing with insurance that a lot of people have a hard time understanding is they're not pricing you on what you have or haven't done when it comes to flooding. They're pricing you on what potentially could happen.
Right. And we're really overdue, at least the Tampa Bay area, I think, for the big one. So I understand there's some changes coming up. So what's up for flood insurance this year? What's important?
So, you know, as I just mentioned, the flood insurance program was an act of Congress. And as a result of that, it has to be reauthorized every so often. So right now, where it stands, this year, the flood insurance program is set to expire, and in order for it to continue to move forward, it's going to have to be reauthorized by Congress.
Oh, wow. That's a serious issue there.
Yeah, that is. So when is the flood insurance program set to expire?
So September 30th is the date that the flood program is set to expire. And regardless of what side of the political spectrum you're on, you can see that they're having a hard time getting anything done in Washington. So we're looking at this kind of on edge, wondering how they're going to proceed and whether or not they're going to be able to get anything done and whether or not this program is going to expire. Or maybe they do a short-term reauthorization, or if they're going to put something in place to where they can get this moving forward and try to get the thing back up and running correctly.
So what happens, Robert, if it expires? I mean, everybody goes without flood insurance? I mean, these mortgage companies...
I can't see them letting that happen.
And these lenders that require a lot of these homeowners that are in flood zones to buy and purchase flood insurance? I mean, what happens?
So this happened not too long ago. When they reauthorized it 5 years ago, what was happening is they're in the same position they are today, essentially. They couldn't figure out how to move this thing forward and try to get the funds back that they need to get this thing back up and running correctly. So you would have gaps in the flood insurance program for a month and a half, maybe even 2 months. And what was happening during that time frame is anyone that was trying to complete a purchase that had a mortgage, they couldn't get flood insurance. So in one instance where we had realtors, we had lawyers, we had insurance agents, you know, all on the same side for once in a lifetime, trying to get something reauthorized through Congress because it was bringing a large sector of the economy to a halt.
Right, because they couldn't just fulfill the purchase. I mean, you know, it wasn't going to happen then.
If you live in a special flood hazard area, you're required by law to purchase flood insurance because the mortgage companies won't lend on the property unless they can make sure that their money is going
their
to
investment,
be
right.
protected.
Are there any changes being proposed to the flood insurance program for this upcoming renewal, if you will?
Yeah, and kind of going back to the fact that Congress is having a hard time agreeing on anything right now.
That's for sure.
The way it's working, you have bills coming out of the House, you have bills coming out of the Senate, and everyone thinks that they have the right idea, but none of the ideas that are coming out are very cohesive. But some of the common trends that I'm seeing is they want to eliminate subsidized rates, and we'll kind of get on, we'll touch on that in a moment. They want more transparency in the flood program. If you start looking at the financials of the NFIP, they're in complete disarray. They want some more financial accountability. They also want to really start to encourage the private insurance market to come in and offer a more robust alternative to the National Flood Insurance Program as a way for customers to have options.
Okay. All right, well, we've heard about flood grandfathering. So what are the ways a policy can be grandfathered?
So flood grandfathering is interesting because when you have a grandfathered policy, in theory, you're not paying as much as you should. You're being grandfathered in from a lower rate to where you should be paying a higher rate today.
They don't have the ability just to increase your premiums every year when you come up for renewal? Or, are they actually grandfathered in?
So you're going to – the way that the flood program is running right now, regardless of where you are, you're going to get an increase. It's just a matter of what type of increase you could get. When you are grandfathered – that means that where your specific property is at one point was in a lower rated zone or it had a certain base flood elevation that after they went in and remapped that area, that first base flood or that first zone was much lower rated. And so you can be grandfathered by having continuous coverage throughout the course of your time at that property. So if the maps change, then you stick with the lower rate. Or if at the time of construction, the property was built in compliance with all the local codes and ordinances, you can maintain the lower rate.
Right. Interesting. Hey, let's go back to subsidized rates. What are subsidized rates?
So it's a good, it's a good topic to follow up on with grandfathering, because even just today, we had a unit owner at one of the condo associations that we insure call us and asked us, they told us that, hey, no, we're grandfathered. And we looked at the policy and said, no, you're not grandfathered. But here's why a lot of people think that they're grandfathered when they're not actually grandfathered. There's two types of policies in the National Flood Program. You have pre-firm policies and post-firm policies. Pre-firm, all that means is that they were built before FEMA came in and actually put together a flood insurance rate map for the area. Now, all a flood insurance rate map is a map that is done by a surveyor that will come in and tell you exactly what your special flood hazard area is. And what a special flood hazard area is that is just the zone and what the risk associated with that flood zone is. And they also tell you what your base flood elevation is. So a pre-firm property, they put that property there before the flood insurance rate map was there. So they don't really know exactly what the true risk of that property is. When you have a post-firm property, they know a little bit better exactly what the rate should be for that property because they understand what the risk associated is.
Okay. All right. So does the property need a elevation certificate or how does that work?
So if you're a pre-firm property, most of those folks don't have elevation certificates. So they don't really know how they correspond to what the flood insurance rate maps, premiums, and risk associated with that property should be. I would encourage all folks to go out and get an elevation certificate because that way you can have a better understanding of what your true risk is and what the premium associated with that risk would be for the insurance company.
Okay. So the elevation certificate pretty much determines what the actual price of the flood policies is going to be.
Yeah, so the way the elevation certificate works is the insurance underwriters take the data that's on the elevation certificate. They look at that in comparison to what the insurance rate maps for the area are, and then they use that information to associate a premium with your specific property.
So how often is that rate map updated? How often do they make changes on that? I imagine that they're...
Not as often as you would think because it's quite the process to go through the entire country and remap. But as part of the reauthorization program 5 years ago, one of the things that they wanted to do is they wanted to update the maps with new technology. Because you can imagine that when they started doing the flood insurance rate maps, the surveyor technology in the 70s wasn't quite as good as the surveying technology was today. So as part of the modernization of the flood insurance program, they're going throughout the entire country and they're remapping the area.
Okay.
So what I would encourage anyone to do is to go onto FEMA's website. They have an area where you can put your address in and you can find out what your flood rate zone is, and you can find out a lot of information as it associates to what your risk is to flood.
Yeah.
Now does an elevation certificate, though, if it says something different than the, if I'm understanding this correctly, than the rate map? They go by the elevation certificate, correct?
So they use it to correspond. Essentially, what the rate map shows you, it shows you what your base flood level is, and it shows you what flood zone you're in and how your specific property is going to be either a higher risk or a lower risk. A base flood level is just simply the level that FEMA determines that there's at least a 1% chance or greater of flooding to that level at any given year. So let's say, you know, my area and my home, for example, I have a base flood elevation of 10.
Right.
So what that means is there's at least a 1% chance or greater on an annual basis that there could be a flood that goes up to 10 feet within my area. So I got an elevation certificate done, and my elevation certificate shows that I'm built up, my home is built up to 10 feet. So that corresponds right perfectly. I'm at base flood. Now, if you have a home and your elevation is above that base flood, your premium will be affected in a positive manner. So the higher you are above
right.
base flood elevation, the lower your premium will be.
And likewise, if it's lower than the base flood.
Correct. So right. you look at it from an inverse standpoint.
Right.
So the higher you build, the lower your premium.
Yeah.
The
right.
lower you are, the higher.
Yeah.
Right.
So everybody wants to save on their insurance premium. So is there a way to reclassify your property from the high risk zone to a lower risk zone?
Yeah. So there are companies out there now, especially for those folks that are in the highest rated risk zones, to where, you know, you hear nightmares about some people paying just thousands and thousands of dollars for flood insurance. And so there's companies out there now that will go out to the property, they'll survey the property for you, and they'll submit what's called a letter of map revision to FEMA. What a letter of map revision does, it basically, kind of going back to the technology used with the old rate maps versus the new rate maps, the survey companies come in, they say our technology was better, we've got a better, you know, survey, we have a better ability to tell you what the true rate risk is, and they submit for a letter of map revision. In a lot of cases, they can get you out of a higher rated zone into a lower zone.
Especially okay. those properties that are like right on the beach.
Yeah.
And is that pretty pricey though?
Well, a lot of them work on a contingency basis. So they'll say that we're only going to do it if we can, you know, we'll look into it. If we can't get it done for you, then we're going to go ahead and not charge you anything. But then if they do get you for it, a lot of times they'll charge you a flat
fee. A one-time fee, yeah.
A flat fee or some type.
What's the elevation certificate cost on that if somebody wanted to have one done?
So depending on who you go to and depending on how many buildings you have in your property, a single building elevation certificate can run you anywhere from $75 to $300.
Who does it? Is that a survey type thing? Or
yeah, if you go just do a quick search on Google, say Pinellas County, Hillsborough County elevation certificates, you'll get a bunch of folks that have survey companies that will go out and they'll do it for you.
Interesting. Okay, Robert, what is FEMA and the NFIP doing to modernize the flood insurance program?
Well, kind of going back to the flood insurance rate maps, a lot of them are very antiquated rate maps. So they're going throughout the entire country and they're bringing in the new surveying technology and they're going out and updating the rate maps. They're also going and essentially trying to become more transparent with how they come to their rates. For a long time, they just send you out a packet twice a year if you're an insurance agent, and they tell you these are what the rates are going to be without any real explanation as to how you got to this point. So they're trying to be more transparent with the rates that they're asking
to be charged.
Important.
Okay.
And they're just trying to run it more like a business than run it like a government agency.
Right.
Oh, that I'm sure that's appreciated by everybody. So will flood insurance premiums increase because of changes?
Flood insurance premiums, I don't see them decreasing, at least in the current environment, because they don't know exactly how they want to move the program forward, and they do have all that debt that they're trying to recoup. So for this year, on average, flood insurance rates across the country are increasing by 9%.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, folks. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to take some live callers. We got callers waiting for us, right, Bobby?
We do.
All right. 2 minutes. We'll be right back, folks.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Ensuring your community since 1971.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667, 1-888-521-5667, or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Robert Mitchell from the Mitchell Insurance Services. And we're talking all about flood insurance and what it covers and much more. So, Robert, let me ask you this question. How does the National Flood Insurance Program define a flood? I mean, what's their definition of a flood? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, you know, flood, you think it's a pretty simple, hey, there's water here. But right. FEMA and the NFIP actually define it as a general or temporary condition where there's two or more acres of normally dry land or two or more properties that are inundated by water or mud flow. So it's a pretty simple, straightforward.
So just that simple.
And obviously, if it's two or more properties, if you have a flood policy in place, your property has to be one of the properties in order to have a,
okay.
a flood
right,
policy.
Right. All right. So we have some callers on the line. Bobby.
Yes. First, we're going to go to Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the Ameritech
Hi.
Connection. You have a question for us?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I currently rent a condo, and I was just wondering, can I buy flood insurance for my personal property? I don't own it, but I just rent it.
Okay, Robert?
That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this a lot. Obviously, being in the Tampa Bay area, we have a lot of condo units, and there's a lot of renters in those condo units. So you can buy a contents policy for your unit. Or for the personal contents in your unit to protect it from flood. And we encourage anyone to do that, especially those folks that are renting the coastal condo, a unit on one of the coastal condos.
So, Lucy, you can call Robert Mitchell at the Mitchell Agency, and I'm sure you could provide them with a policy, correct?
Yeah, at Mitchell
Insurance Services.
We'd be happy to look into that for you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling, Lucy.
Thanks,
Have
Lucy.
A good night.
Bobby, we got some more callers on the line?
Yes, we do. We're going to go to Tanya.
Hey,
Hi, Tanya.
How are you? Welcome to the Ameritech Hello. Connection. You're on the air. Hello. What's your question?
Thanks. Yeah, I have a good question. Does flood insurance cover flooding if it wasn't caused by rising water? For example, say the wind ripped off my roof of my house and flooded. Am I covered for that?
Okay, so in the insurance business, there's a foundation that's called proximate cause, and basically proximate cause, what caused the damage, or you know, what was the first peril or hazard that caused the damage? And so in that case, if your roof was ripped off, you'd have to turn to your property insurance policy or your wind only policy, because wind was what ripped your roof off. And so even though you had water damage as a result of the wind, it wouldn't be covered under your flood policy. That would be something that you would have to turn to your property policy for.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good answer. Thank you.
Well, we hope we've given you the answer you're looking for.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. You guys, this show's great.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, Bobby, do we have another caller?
Yes. Now we have Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. You've got the Ameritech Connection here. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I know that there's a cap on flood insurance. I think it's about $250,000. Can I buy more insurance above that cap, and is it available through the government or privately?
Yeah, okay. So there's a few different limits when it comes to the government-run flood program. So if you own a home, they cap you at $250,000. If you have a piece of commercial property, they cap you at $500,000. And then if you have a condo association, they cap you at $250,000 per unit. So obviously we do have situations in this area where you're going to need more flood insurance coverage than that. So you can buy what's called an excess flood policy, and that's typically done through a private insurance company. The government doesn't really do anything with excess flood policies, but they're readily available through a host of different insurance companies.
Are they expensive policies, Robert?
No, they're not as expensive as your standard flood policy. Usually it's a much lower premium because the underlying policy or the government, the first $250,000, when you think of any type of damage that's going to occur,
typically it's going to be under that threshold.
It's going to be that first $250,000 that you get the brunt of it. So let's say you have another $100,000 in value that you need.
Right.
That excess policy may only have to pay out $25,000, $10,000.
Do you have an idea what maybe a policy would cost for that? I mean,
I couldn't give you an exact number because, once again, it depends on where the property is located, how the property is built. But I can tell you that if you're paying $5,000 on your government policy, maybe $1,500, you know, somewhere in that ballpark for the excess policy.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Hopefully we've got your answers that you wanted to hear, Sherry. Do you have any other?
Thank you very much.
Do you have anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling in, Sherry. Thanks. Bobby, do we have any more?
We are going to go to Kimberly now.
Hello, okay. Kimberly. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the
air. Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I got a question for you.
Sure. Shoot.
Shoot.
If my house floods out by a water leak, not a natural disaster, am I covered by flood insurance?
So when you think of the standard water leak, that's going to be something that you would, you know, once again, have to turn to your property insurance policy for. But when you look at, you know, some potential, you know, more catastrophic water line breaks, or, you know, let's say you got a big city water line breaks that continues to run and run and they can't cap it, you could potentially have some, you know, some flood coverage there if it gets to that 2 acres or that two property limit.
Right. But that is a catastrophe, though. I mean, if you look at it, because that's going to affect a lot of people.
When you think of the standard water leak in the Florida homes that we're seeing so much of today, that's something that you would have under your property insurance policy, not necessarily your flood policy.
Kimberly, hopefully we've answered your question.
Well, you did. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Kimberly.
All right. Have a good evening.
You as well.
All right. You too. All right. Robert, I have a question for you. What about private insurance companies? Are they writing flood insurance?
Now, we talked a little bit about them writing above the 250, but are they writing actual flood
And are there
policies?
More coming into the area?
Yeah. So, you know, going back to the first part of our conversation, you know, the whole reason why the government got into the flood program in the first place was because the private company said that flood was uninsurable. Well, private flood insurance is the new hot, trendy topic in the flood insurance world. Over the past few years, you know, we've continued to see the government raise their rates. And finally, you're starting to see the private insurance companies dip their toes in the water and see if they might be able to turn a profit on some of these, because the rates have gone up so much, they now think that they might be able to be competitive. We're still, all things considered, very early on in the process.
Right, but it's going in that direction.
But we're starting to see it trend in that direction.
But let's say you have a Sandy or example, something like that take place. I mean, we know the government's going to be able to pay. What about these private insurance companies? Are they going to be able to pay the claims?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, and that's the question that you really have to ask yourself with all insurance companies in the state of Florida. I mean, whether it's the wind insurance, the property insurance, or the water insurance.
Well, you got admitted, and then you've got non-admitted, which is the excess, surplus, and lines carrier. At least the admitted coverage. I mean, is there such a thing as admitted coverage for flood insurance?
So what you're starting to see, and you've made two good points. So for those of you that don't know, the admitted companies are companies that actually have to file their rates with the state. So they can't just arbitrarily charge you anything that they want. The state has to approve what they charge you. And as a, I guess, reward, if you will, for allowing the state to approve your rates, in the event that that insurance company were to go insolvent while they were going through a catastrophic claims payout, the state of Florida will come in and pay X amount of dollars to try to help pay out that loss, or at least the amount that the admitted company couldn't pay out. Now, the excess and surplus companies, they typically work on a national and sometimes international basis, so they don't want to have to file their rates with all 50 states.
Right, like Lloyd's of London, that's an excess, surplus, and lines carrier, right?
With Lloyd's of London, that's the grandfather of all insurance.
Right.
They would rather let the market dictate what their rates are, but they don't get that backstop, if you will, in the event that they can't make their claim obligation to where the state won't come in and help you out.
So theoretically, if we get hit with a huge hurricane and it comes by, and let's say, you know, there's a lot of policies insured by Lloyd's and they run out of money, they just don't get paid, right?
Well, the interesting thing about Lloyd's, Lloyd's operates kind of as a mothership, if you will. And within that mothership, they have syndicates. So each syndicate operates as its own entity, and they all have their own financial backing. They all have their own financial stability. So even if you have, let's say, two policies right next door to one another, and they are both Lloyd's of London, they could be different syndicates. So when you think of, you know, Lloyd's of London writing 100,000 policies in the state, you could have a group of different syndicates that are all participating in it. So it's a tricky situation.
Can one syndicate go, say, belly up because they can't pay the claims if it's in Fort Lauderdale and they got hit, whereas another syndicate could just run fine? I mean, isn't that kind of a loophole for the insurance companies to kind of get around paying claims?
Yeah, well, it's just, it's a lot like your national insurance companies, let's say, I don't want to name any specific one, but let's say XYZ Insurance Company is a national admitted company,
right.
One that you see all the commercials for on television. Well, a lot of times what those national companies do, they'll set up XYZ of Florida, and they will write all of the policies through XYZ of Florida. In the event that there's a catastrophic situation, you could potentially see that same thing. Well, they'll file bankruptcy of XYZ of Florida in an effort to protect the mothership.
I know, but do some of those insurance companies buy what is called, and maybe you can explain this as well, reinsurance?
Yeah. So reinsurance, kind of like it sounds, you know, you're reinsuring the insurer.
Right.
So it's the insurance that insurance companies buy to protect their losses.
Right.
And all of these companies are buying reinsurance.
Now, is there any statutory requirement that these companies actually buy reinsurance? I mean, that would certainly kind of make them somewhat admitted. I mean, now what they're doing is they're mitigating their own losses by diverting those to somebody else, correct? Or another insurance company.
Yeah, now there's a financial ratio that insurance companies have to oblige by to operate, and that's usually governed by the state insurance commissions. You know, my memory, I used to know this by heart. I want to say that it's a premium to surplus ratio of about 3 to 1 or 5 to 1. And so what I mean by that is for the amount of premium that they have out, they have to at least have 3 times that surplus.
Oh, I get it.
So,
yeah.
You know, as it pertains to reinsurance itself, not quite sure off the top of my head, but I know that there's a financial ratio that they have to oblige by in order to operate within that state.
Now, is that a Florida statutory requirement, or is that like a U.S. statutory requirement?
So the interesting thing about insurance outside of flood insurance is it's usually governed by the states. So
right.
Each state has its own insurance commission, and so each state operates a little bit differently.
Okay. I have a question. If no private market flood insurance company will insure my association, is there any way to curb the cost of flood insurance?
Yeah, and so once again, the biggest complaint I get from my customers who have flood insurance is, you know, we haven't had any floods, but our rates keep going up and going up and going up. And
uh-huh.
So the first thing that you look at is there a private market flood insurance that will offer them some type of flood policy with some rate relief or some premium relief?
Right.
If there's not, what I would encourage everyone to do is to talk to your local city officials and the building department, especially in the zoning department and planning department, because the National Flood Insurance Program has what's called a community rating system discount. And what that is, it's a discount offered to communities for their flood mitigation efforts. So
okay.
If a community goes through certain steps to mitigate or curb the potential losses that a flood would provide, I guess,
right.
They will give you a discount on the flood insurance premium. So if you have a flood insurance policy, if you look on that policy down by where the total premium is, you'll see a CRS discount. Usually it's a percentage. It'll say CRS 15%, 10%. So each community is trying to ramp up their mitigation efforts to help their citizens okay. with
yeah.
the rate relief.
Okay. All right. I just have one more question before we take a caller. Who should we contact locally to motivate the community to actually increase their level of participation?
Yeah, going back to it, it's the city officials in the zoning departments and the building departments.
Okay.
Because those are the ones that are going to actually have to go in and do the planning.
Okay.
Just as kind of an example of some of the communities that are taking these steps, when you think about, you know, the epicenter of where catastrophic flooding could potentially occur, it's Miami Beach. Well, Miami Beach this year, they're putting in place $100 million mitigation effort to where they're going in, they're actually raising all of their roads, they're putting in flood pumps throughout the infrastructure system, they're redoing the water mains.
That has to be very costly.
Yeah, and so just
they're probably getting a lot of assistance from the government too on issues like that.
The FEMA will give you some assistance. They will give you some help, but a lot of that's just going to be local money. And
right.
Like I said, that's just the city of Miami Beach. The city of Miami as a whole, the cost is going to be between $400 and $500 million.
Wow. Okay, Bobby, I think we have a caller on the line.
Yes, we do. We have Mary on the line.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection.
Hi, Mary.
Do you have a question?
Enjoy listening to all the questions and information.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I live in a flood zone, and I do not have flood insurance. Okay. Now, am I taking a risk? Am I required by law to have it? I'm on the edge, and I just feel that, you know, nothing's ever happened all these years, and I don't want to spend the money.
Okay. Good question.
Is that a stupid question? No, that's a question we...
Is that a stupid mistake on my part not to get it?
Well, as an insurance agent, I would always recommend that you purchase flood insurance if you're in a special flood hazard area. And what I mean by a special flood hazard area, that means you're in one of the higher rated zones. And so if you look at your policy, you see either an AE or a V zone, or any A zone or V zone. Those are the two highest rated flood zones. And so when you're in one of those zones, you're required by law to purchase flood insurance if you have a mortgage, because the mortgage lenders won't lend on the property unless they can guarantee that their money's protected. Now, if you've if you've paid off your mortgage and you don't have that debt obligation, then it's up to you if you want to roll the dice and not carry flood insurance.
But if you get hit with a big flood, then you're pretty much coming out of pocket, right, Robert?
That's the theory. Now, let me tell you a story about a friend of my dad's up in New Jersey. So after Sandy hit, FEMA's in there going door to door, you know, saying if you need emergency disaster relief or you need emergency disaster assistance, you know, fill out this form, tell us exactly how much was damaged, and we'll see if we can help you out.
Right.
One of the problems with the flood insurance program and FEMA is all the premium that's going into the program is essentially controlled by FEMA. After Katrina and after Sandy, it becomes very politicized how the government agencies respond and what funds they respond with. Mm-hmm. So my dad's friend, who has $1 million home up in New Jersey, about a mile away from the shore, he got hit with about $40,000 worth of damage as a result of a flood. He filled out the FEMA form and they paid him.
They paid him the whole $40,000?
They paid him just about the whole
$40,000. I would think there'd be a long wait on that, considering there's got to be quite a few folks that are needing your help.
I would say that's also a risk, Mary. So I mean,
I don't recommend doing that. But that was just to highlight some of the issues why the flood program's in such debt. Now,
I have another question. Now, I mean, I have a pond in the back.
You have a what?
Now, a pond.
A pond. Where are you from? New Jersey.
Probably the guy's neighbor.
That's okay. He's not making fun of that. Go ahead.
Now, if that rises, you know, fills with water and what, and then enters my house, does flood insurance go into play, or because it's not from the ocean, or, you know, I mean, is it covered by flood insurance from a pond?
So yeah.
She's got a retention pond back there.
Yeah, that would be covered. It doesn't have to be tidal water to be considered a flood. So, once again, going back to FEMA's definition, if there's 2 acres of property that's not normally covered with water, that's now inundated with water, then you'd have a flood. So that's certain, or 2 properties. So if you and your neighbor got water from the retention pond, let's say we had one of our Florida summers where we had 5 or 6 days of heavy thunderstorms, and that came up into your property, that could potentially be covered by your flood policy, subject to whatever deductible you have.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Mary, I hope we answered your questions.
Yes, you did.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the compliments and for calling in.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Mary.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Insuring your community since 1971.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785 drive. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Robert Mitchell from Mitchell Insurance Services. And we're talking about flood insurance and what it covers and much more. So, Robert, what are some of the exclusions that would be not covered under a typical flood policy?
Well, kind of going back to some of the questions that we had before, if you have a water leak in your home, that's not typically something that you'd find under your flood policy. If we do have a storm and as a result there's damage to your roof and water's coming in as a result of that, that wouldn't be something that you would have under the flood policy. So what we're really thinking here is think of, you know, rising water, two or more acres or two or more properties. Obviously, if you're on the coast, tidal surge, things like that, the retention pond, if that's coming up, those are types of things that you would traditionally
more in a natural disaster type situation. I mean, you know, for the most part,
that's what it's typically designed for. But you do have events where where large water main breaks and some of those other things that could potentially be covered.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got a quick question on letters that I received from my mortgage company. Seems like every year they say I need to send proof of insurance. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, the mortgage companies. There are our best friends when you need to get money from them, and then they bug you for the rest of the.
They can be a pain, let me tell you.
So if you're in a special flood hazard area, you know, you're in one of those zones where the mortgage companies are going to require you to carry flood coverage. They're going to want to make sure that you're maintaining that flood coverage throughout the life of the mortgage. So every year, at the time of your insurance renewal, expect a letter in the mail or expect a phone call from the mortgage company.
Now, okay. We talked earlier about, getting certain parcels re-rated and elevation certificates and all that other stuff that we talked about a few minutes ago. Can an association, after purchasing a policy, if there's a rate change or a elevation certificate that says otherwise, can they go back a few years on flood policies or premiums that they paid and get a nice large refund?
Yeah, so actually, that's a great question, and I have a perfect example of that. We took over a policy where it was a condo association on the beach. They were in one of the higher rated flood zones, and they were getting hit with a really large base flood elevation. We got a letter from the city that said they were built in compliance at the time, so we got their policy grandfathered. They got a big check for the year that we were actually talking about for the current term, and we're now working with FEMA to go back 5 years, so they'll get a refund going back to 5 years.
Oh, wow, that's great. I mean, they probably love you.
They're pretty happy right now.
Now, can they go beyond 5 years, or 5 years is the limit?
I without 100% certainty, I'm pretty sure, I think 5 years is the limit.
Wow, that's interesting. Why don't you just summarize, in essence, the National Flood Insurance Program? I mean, can you just kind of go through a summary just for those that are maybe just tuning in? I know we've been talking about it. But if you could summarize it, Robert.
Yeah, the long and short of it is that the National Flood Insurance Program is a government-run program that is designed to provide affordable flood insurance to those folks that need it. Unfortunately, affordability is becoming more and more of an issue. So now the flood insurance industry is turning to private insurance companies to try to help relieve some of that premium stress that a lot of the customers, especially here in Florida, are having to deal with.
Right, right. Interesting. So the cost, do you anticipate it ever going down?
I don't necessarily anticipate the government program to go down. What I'm hoping will happen, I'm hoping that the more private companies come in, you'll see
more competition, right.
And that will start to drive rates down. And we've seen some of that already. I had a condo association that was paying about $400,000 a year in flood insurance, and we moved them to a private flood insurance company, and now they're paying about $200,000. So, I mean, you can imagine the premium savings. In some cases, it's there. Not always is it there, but in some cases, it's there.
Well, there's a trade-off, too, for private versus government. I mean, if a major flood hits, you know, that private is susceptible to going bankrupt, correct?
The comfort you have with the government is you have a very long history of how and when they're going to pay their claims. What you don't have with some of the private insurance companies that are coming into play right now is you don't have that claim payout history, so you're not 100% sure how it's going to all unravel at the time of the loss.
Right.
So you have to look at what the cost is versus what the benefit would be, and you have to make that decision for yourself.
But would you agree that the government will eventually pay? And whereas a private insurance company, depending on how big the loss was?
I would say that, you know, most of the private companies out there, I think they're going to meet their claim obligations, but there is always that risk. The government for sure is going to pay because they can print money as they need to print money.
Well, that's the idea behind it.
It's the federal government.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't look at the private insurance companies as a non-viable option.
Right.
Just look at them with a little bit of trepidation and make sure you look at their financials, see how well they, you know, they're stacked up.
All right.
Okay, did you know Robert Mitchell has been providing insurance for over 25 years? So if you're looking for an experienced insurance agent, look no further. Give Robert Mitchell a call today. He's the right insurance agent to make sure you have the right protection for your home or building. Keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.